Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Cloud computing has been the topic of discussion at your agency, no doubt. It's been the topic of conversation on this program and many other programs on Federal News Radio from time to time, and lots of information about cloud computing, including the FedCloud blog at federalnewsradio.com, and also the topic of conversation on July 21st at the Brookings Institution. You've been hearing throughout the hour some highlights of that event. Dave McClure from GSA and NIST represented there as well, and the moderator of that event, the person who put it all together, is Darrell West of Brookings, their vice president and director of governance studies. And Dr. West, my guest now on In Depth with Francis Rose, thanks very much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Francis. Nice to be with you.
I appreciate your time. As I've said, we've talked a lot about cloud computing at the federal level and at the CIO level in the federal government. And your paper called Steps to Improve Cloud Computing in the Public Sector contains a lot of information for people who may have been submerged in the last year or year and a half on cloud computing and are trying to sort a lot of this out. You have some recommendations here, 11 of them to be precise. And I'd like to ask you about a couple of these. The first one that struck me was the use of video collaboration and social networking should be authorized for congressional offices. This would make legislative branch policy consistent with that of the executive branch. The GSA made a big deal out of the fact that they went out and secured terms of service agreements with the providers for social media tools and so on. Why do you think it's taken Congress a little bit longer to get up to speed on something like this?
Congress has definitely been a laggard on technology innovation. The executive branch has been rushing forward to embrace social media, collaboration tools, and other new technologies. But for some reason, members of Congress have been slow to do this. And so we suggest in our report that they need to get with it. It is the 21st century. There are clear advantages of using video, social networking sites, and collaboration tools, and they need to authorize these techniques so that they can get the economies of scale and the efficiency that comes with new technology.
There are certain members of Congress that are more adept with these tools and these technologies than others. But what do you think it would take? Would it take legislation? Would it take maybe somebody in the executive branch stepping up and saying, we would like to help you move forward on this? What do you think will be the driving event that will make what you would like to see happen happen?
Legislation is not really required to address this particular problem in Congress. It really is a question of the House and Senate leadership stepping up and authorizing some of these new technologies. It really is within the prerogative of the current leadership to do that. And, for example, there are inconsistencies in some of the current policies. For example, Skype, the video phone service, is not allowed in House offices because people worry about security problems, but yet at the same time, they actually do allow it on mobile devices. So that's the type of inconsistency that makes no sense. Like, if something is actually insecure, it really doesn't matter whether it's on the desktop or on a mobile device. They should be clear about what they are willing to authorize and to do that across platforms, regardless of whether it is a desktop machine or a mobile device.
That actually ties in nicely with the first recommendation on this list, which is that public officials should develop more consistent rules on computing across desktop, laptop, mobile, and cloud platforms. Have we kind of gotten away from the idea a little too far that these are all just methods of achieving a job rather than each being their own particular type of computing?
People do focus a little bit too much on the platform and forget the larger purpose of what technology innovation is all about, which is allowing people to become more efficient and more productive in doing their jobs. Technology innovation can be very helpful to people, and we really need the federal government to do more in this area. When you compare what various government offices are doing today compared to the private sector, in general, the public sector still lags the private sector on technology innovation. So there are techniques and things that are widely used among private companies that still are having problems in terms of getting authorized for government agencies. So that's an example of where government really needs to catch up with what is going on in the private sector.
Another one of these recommendations I found interesting, there should be a more uniform certification process for federal agencies. Each agency now has to certify its own applications. You write, it makes sense to have a joint authorization board with the power to review management services and certify particular products for use across the government. Is that something that you think should reside in Vivek Kundra and Anish Chopra's office?
It's something that the General Services Administration now is starting to implement, because prior to the last year, every department basically certified its own application. So, for example, if you had a product, you might get the State Department to certify and allow the use of that particular product. But then if you wanted to go to transportation or commerce, you had to go through the whole certification process all over again. That's obviously duplicative and inefficient. It wastes everybody's time and money. So we suggest there just needs to be a central certification board. And the government is now developing the FedRAMP program, which essentially will perform that type of service. So once something is certified for one department at a particular security need, it then becomes eligible for usage in all the other executive departments.
And we have seen with, as I mentioned, the terms of service agreements on social media tools, it became very easy for agencies to pick those up and use them. And I can imagine what you're saying happening with cloud tools, too, once the same thing happens. It'll be easy for agencies to just start using them kind of as they see fit. Another one I'd like to ask you about: privacy rights should be placed on the same footing regardless of whether the person's using desktop or cloud computing. It makes little sense to have weaker standards on one platform than another. Is this a case where, as I mentioned before, we get focused on the type of computing and not necessarily the end result, and this is another result of that with different standards for different platforms?
It is a problem, and this is a problem that particularly arises based on judicial decisions that have come in the privacy area. Judges have basically created much tougher privacy rules for desktop computing than remote or cloud computing applications, because their idea is that if you voluntarily relinquish data or services to some remote storage device, as is common with internet computing or cloud-based computing, then you should have less of an expectation of privacy. So ironically, they've created tougher privacy rules for desktop computing than exists in the area of the cloud. But yet when the consumer is using various services and applications, that person probably is not aware of whether the data are being stored in the cloud or on a desktop machine. And so they often, during the course of a day, jump back and forth across these platforms, not recognizing that courts give you greater privacy rights on some platforms compared to others. So we suggest they need to reconcile that and have more consistent privacy rules regardless of the particular application.
You're very complimentary of apps.gov in this report, and I'd like to talk about that when we come back from the break. My guest is Darrow West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution. We're talking about some of the recommendations included in the report, Steps to Improve Cloud Computing in the Public Sector. Later this afternoon, you'll be able to find that report linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. It'll take you straight to the Brookings site so you can read it whenever you like. Back for more when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric,
the reporter whose article in Rolling Stone magazine essentially destroyed General Stanley McChrystal's career, is upset with the Defense Department because they've denied him permission to accompany troops in Afghanistan, saying he's not trustworthy. Kevin Barron writes in Stars and Stripes that Michael Hastings says that Colonel Wayne Shank, spokesman for the International Security Assistance Force in Kabul, told him his request to embed with a unit in Afghanistan is being denied due to political fallout. I'm J.J. Green.
When you're flying somewhere, you ever think about the amount of information that is needed to get you to your destination? Airing does every day. Airing enables airlines to send and receive vitally important operational information. So the next time you hear the flight crew advise that you'll be landing in 20 minutes, you're 30 miles from the airport. You'll be arriving at gate B26, and the weather is fine. Remember, this information travels to you over one of the world's largest private networks, Airings. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Without an effective estate plan, your hard-earned wealth will end up in the hands of the government, and a will is no protection. At Zell Law, our estate planning lawyers take the time to listen and understand you and your goals and figure out what you want to achieve. Then we work with you to create a customized estate plan that helps you and your family realize your dreams of wealth and freedom. Find out how we do this by joining me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, August 10th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will focus on critical issues facing government and industry in cybersecurity. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, Navy, and the NRC. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, August 10th at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by SafeNet, McAfee, and HP Enterprise Services.
Hey, Caps fans, are you ready for the total Caps experience? The Capitals Convention returns on Saturday, October 2nd at the Washington Convention Center in downtown D.C. Spend a full day immersed in Capitals hockey with players, coaches, management, and alumni. Get players' autographs and learn more about their lives both on and off the ice. And be the first to see the 2011 Winter Classic uniforms. Tickets are $45 for adults and $25 for kids. Last year's convention sold out with over 5,000 guests, so get your tickets now at WashingtonCaps.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about cloud computing this hour. The Brookings Institution hosting a discussion on cloud computing in the public sector on July 21st, and you can find a link to the audio of that event later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. At that event, Darrell West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at Brookings, released a paper called Steps to Improve Cloud Computing in the Public Sector, a number of recommendations for the public sector in that report, and one of those recommendations, Dr. West, includes discussion of apps.gov. You write, apps.gov represents a big step forward, and government use should be expanded because it makes procurement easier and speeds public sector innovation. This is a big deal, and apps.gov made a big splash when it came out. There's a fear among some of the people that I talked to that the shine has worn off it a little bit, so I was interested to see you bring it up in this report to kind of get people focused on it again.
Well, what I like about apps.gov is it's basically a storefront device for the procurement of particular online services. And so it makes it much easier for government agencies that want to add new technologies to do so. So right now, on that site, people can order services in 33 different categories, such as management, productivity, and social media applications. There are a bunch of different business applications. There are surveys and travel applications. So it's just designed to make everything much easier for government agencies to innovate through technology. And so I think that's the thing that I like that helps further innovation in this area.
The website, when it first came up, people suspected that it was not a trial run as far as cloud computing was concerned, but a trial run as far as innovation in procurement and acquisition is concerned. This is something that you pay attention to as Director of Governance Studies at Brookings. Are you hopeful that apps.gov is kind of a template that may be used for other areas of acquisition for government?
It should be used for other areas, because once you have a storefront like that and you've certified particular applications as meeting basic privacy and security standards, then you should be able to expand that pretty dramatically as new applications come along. So I think it can become a way to expand cloud computing within the federal government, which right now is a minuscule part of federal IT spending. Again, the private sector has achieved great efficiency and economies through cloud computing. We've not yet seen a big movement of that at the federal level, but I think over the next year, we will see much greater usage of various cloud services.
Steps to Improve Cloud Computing in the Public Sector is the title of this report. It's the first in a series called Issues in Technology Innovation by Dr. Darrell West. What will somebody take away from this when they dig into this, other than what we've talked about so far, sir?
I think the basic message is that the government has been slow to embrace technology innovation, and there are several basic steps it needs to think about in order to make innovation much easier to implement. So our paper kind of makes some practical suggestions about what the federal government can do to encourage cloud computing and to think about ways to use technology to further innovation across government agencies.